have had it fixed very fast. Any questions?
On the issuance, on the $450 million for April, you're working with PMA, you'll keep us informed.
Absolutely.
As we go forward with that, the market, kind of the market.
That's right. PFM is our financial advisor, our ongoing financial advisor, and we are also working with Acacia Financial Group as a transactional financial advisor.
And just because all of this seems extremely complicated, I would summarize by saying, having gone through all of these processes, we've saved something close to $70+ million. So that means that our toll payers don't have to pay that amount, and we have more resources available for us to do the work that we have to do. So when you cut to the chase, this is really about figuring out how we use our debt system in order to maximize the amount of money that the tollway has at its disposal without having to go back to our customers.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. Bill is one of those behind-the-scenes players that
not anymore.
It's basking in the spotlight right now. He does a great job for us, so thank you very much.
I'm sorry, there was one thing that I think we got in our clips about the fact that we were on a credit watch because of one of our financial...
We're not on a credit watch.
Right, because the bonds were... Right. I just wanted to make sure we clarified
that. That's right. This goes back to the liquidity and credit facilities. So those facilities are there as a backstop to our variable rate bonds. If our variable rate bonds are subject to bondholder tender, so on 7 days' notice. So any holder of the bond can tender those bonds on 7 days' notice.
What does that mean?
It means that if you own the bonds and you don't want them anymore, either because you're not happy with the way the interest rate is being reset or because you need the money, you can tender them. You can put them back and get your money back 7 days later. And we have a remarketing agent who, when that happens, finds a new investor to buy the bonds. If the remarketing agent cannot find anybody within those 7 days to buy those bonds, that's when those nine banks, the liquidity and credit facility providers, step in and buy the bond, so we don't have to come up with that money on the spot. And that agreement obligates them to hold those bonds for several years, actually, until new investors can be found. We have not had any bonds held by liquidity or credit facility providers since 2009. But they're there in case it happens. So the ratings on the bonds are really a combination of the tollway's creditworthiness and the creditworthiness of these banks that are credit enhancing the bonds. One of the credit facility providers, Mizuho, is rated. Well, let me step back for a second. So with the credit facility, the Series 2007A bonds, they take both of those ratings into consideration, and what you usually have is a bond rating that's actually greater than either the tollway's rating or the credit facility provider's rating. So an A-plus bank combined with a AA-minus tollway will result, in Moody's opinion, a AA-1 rating, and for S&P it's AAA, and for Fitch in most cases it's AA+. But because Mizuho is rated A- by Fitch, Fitch's policy is that if the bank is rated lower than A, they do not apply that dual analysis, and instead they rate the bonds at the higher of either the tollway's rating or the bank's rating. So Mizuho is A-, the tollway is at AA-. So the bond rating becomes AA- instead of AA+, which it would be if Mizuho were rated a little bit higher. The impact of this to the tollway is really nil. because that bondholder who can tender their bonds on 7 days' notice is really going to require that the short-term rating of the bonds, which is a separate rating from the long-term rating, be in the one category. So for Fitch, that's F1. For S&P, it's A1. And for Moody's, it's P1. All three rating aids, I know this is long. All three, All three rating aids
have
the highest short-term rating. I know. I just want to get all the facts out there. So the bondholder is most concerned about the short-term rating on the bonds. The short-term ratings are there for that bond. And so the interest rates that we have to pay and that are reset every week are not impacted by the fact that the long-term rating is AA minus instead of AA plus. And AA minus is still an excellent rating for bonds. So that's a long-winded way of saying, yes, there was a press clipping. Yes, the bonds were dropped by one of the three agencies. There's still AAA by S&P. There's still AA1 by Moody's. But the impact to us is nil.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to introduce Jim Wagner, who's going to be giving his twice annual report of his office's activities. As you know, and have heard before, we work very closely with the Inspector General's office on cases that have a real impact and can have a real impact on our operations. So we want to, of course, thank him and his office for their efforts and the collaboration, and we'd like to invite him up to give his report.
Okay. Thank you, Chrissy. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We certainly just proved Bill knows what he's talking about, whether we do or not. You all have a copy of our report. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail with you this morning. I just want to highlight in summary fashion what's in there for those who do not have a copy yet, but it will be posted later today on the website. In this report, we covered the period of time from basically the end of September of 2013 to now, or a week ago perhaps. During that period of time, I did include one thing or a couple of things that occurred prior, just to close the circle on the cases. For instance, in IG 1306, we had an individual who had been arrested by a ISP task force regarding production of cannabis. And we've been told on February 14, he pled guilty and was given a long supervision term. That individual employee was terminated by the tolling. In IG 13016, another employee was terminated. He had provided false information on his prior employment and criminal activity, made threats to a supervisor, and threatened violence. In IG 13022, another employee was terminated by the tollway. Had provided a false allegation regarding an assault and battery, which it was determined had not taken place. In IG 1324, the tollway terminated an employee again for providing false information regarding criminal activity. We had a couple of cases that were referred to us by audit. These were investigative assistance cases, 171 and 172. Both of them were toll collectors who were committing theft of toll revenue. They admitted it and resigned. We also had a previous case of 13-02, where an IPAS call taker, if you recall, had been negotiating offline settlements, and taking cash from customers. He has now been indicted by DuPage County. That was in January, and it was on 16 counts of theft. We had an older case, actually, from 2010 that was just resolved in February. An individual who was a toll collector, again, had been stealing revenue. He pled guilty to official misconduct in February and received 30 months probation. And then the final of the discipline cases, 14-03, we had an individual who subsequently resigned when it was determined there had been false statements in the employment application that was submitted, inconsistent and incorrect information. The recommendation cases that we submitted included 13-13, in which there was a fraudulent money order had been presented to buy a vehicle, a surplus vehicle, put on the iBid system by the tollway. And what had happened was the person came in with a money order and it was accepted, and it was subsequently determined to be fraudulent. The tollway has now instituted the policy that money orders, since they're so easy to copy and fake, will not accept money orders in payment. And there will be an attempt to verify any method of payment in the future. The person involved in that case, the investigation was turned over to District 15. And in February, he was arrested and charged with felony forgery. Previously, we had reported on a case 13-10 involving a towing complaint that was actually presented to the board. I wanted to repeat that our review determined that the tollway operated its policy correctly in reviewing the activities, and actually the towing company made a partial refund to the individual who was involved, and the tollway also imposed a 30-day suspension on that company because of the activities. And beginning in this year, 2014, there's a new selection process used to evaluate towing companies to ensure competitive processes. In another previous case, which was a preliminary inquiry back in 2011, we looked at an issue involving temporary concrete barriers at work sites. Now, there are standards for the barriers to be anchored into the ground to make sure that in an accident, they will not move or will be anchored sufficiently to move only a short distance. It was determined back then that they had not been all anchored properly, and at that time, the chief engineer issued a construction bulletin, 12-1, to make sure they were installed properly. Recently, we had a meeting with IDOT and determined that IDOT, in their review, had found other instances of not having them anchored properly. We asked again for the chief engineer to check this, and it was determined there were still ones on tollway construction sites that had not been anchored properly. And he has instituted an action plan to include training for the project managers, and also requiring the engineering consultant to inspect these sites at least twice a year and after each major change. And then there will be a fine if there are any similar non-compliance situations. And then finally, in 13-17, we had an instance in the dispatch center upon the retirement of a trooper utilizing the radio for an extensive period of time to say goodbye at his retirement, which is, on the one hand, not uncommon for them to say goodbye, but very uncommon to tie up the radio for the amount of time that he did, which causes a potential safety hazard for the public. There is an emergency button that can be utilized, but in an emergency, people may forget that there's an emergency button when they're trying to transmit. So when we looked at that operation as far as dispatch, we believed that it would be helpful to have the people working at the tollway who are in the dispatch office to actually be managed by the Illinois State Police. In looking at it in total, the tollway decided that was not necessary. It's been managed by the tollway since the beginning of the tollway, and there are now efforts to have closer cooperation between the state police and the people within the dispatch office, and regular meetings are taking place to ensure that. And then you'll find on the last page a summary of the total number of cases that we've investigated. And during this approximate six-month period, we had opened 117 new cases. We've closed 119 during that time, and we currently got 10 Inspector General cases in process. That is it in a nutshell. Apologize for the head being stopped up. I think it's the weather. It may be allergies, but hopefully you could hear everything. Any questions?
Thank you. I mentioned we did have an opportunity in the executive session last month to have Jim come in to answer questions, but if there's anything else. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you.
We appreciate it and the work of your staff and your office.
That's it for me. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. So let's move to the consent agenda then, please. As I always mention, we've gone over these in committee, so we feel as if it feels as if we're racing through these, but we actually have given them a lot of consideration at the committee level and prior to that as well, obviously. Under finance, I believe Director Reddick has a recusal on 1 and 3, so why don't we take... We have to take each of these separately, so may I hear a motion on 1?
So moved.
Second?
Second, please.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? There's 1 recusal, and any abstentions? Motion on 2?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And any abstentions or recusals? And then 3? May I hear a motion, please?
Okay.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We have the 1 recusal from Director Reddick. And any abstentions? Okay. Procurement, I believe we can do all 5 of these.
No, Chair, we need to present the first 2
items. I'm sorry, I don't have that. Go ahead.
Sure. So these are 2 items that obviously couldn't make the committee meeting, so that's why we're presenting it today. The first item is a request to amend resolution number 20237, which was approved during the February board meeting. Datamation Imaging Services Corporation, who was the awarded vendor, informed us after the board meeting that they made a mistake on one of their line items in their bid submission. So after researching their bid response, it was clear a mistake had been made. The procurement rules do allow for corrections to be made, which our state purchasing officer approved. After this mistake was corrected, the vendor is still the low bidder. So I'm recommending approval of the revised resolution in a total amount not to exceed $73,357.40. This amount is an increase of $11,292.60 from the original award.
Why was there a correction again? Why was the bid adjusted?
They made a mistake on one of the line items. They bid, I believe, a quarterly amount instead of the 2-year amount. So even after the correction was made, there's still a little bit. They clearly made a mistake in one of their pricing or line items.
So how do we know that? I always want to be the devil's advocate here. This was in committee. Everybody saw the bids. they would know how still to be the low bidder, even though...
Right.
Right? So explain how we knew that this was a mistake.
So after this was brought to my attention, I looked into this with my staff, and for that given line item, they're supposed to list the maintenance price for a two-year term. I believe their price was around the neighborhood of $3,400, $3,500, whereas all the other vendors were like $12,000 for the two-year term, $15,000, and $17,000, respectively. So they clearly made a mistake. They underbid it. It was more or less like a semi-annual payment, not the total for the 2 years. So I'm comfortable with this.
Is it something, though, that we could hold them to the original price, could we not?
The SPO has also waited on this and has determined that this was a mistake made by the vendor.
And I don't want to punish anybody, but I just think we need a process by which we can feel comfortable.
And I also, you know, talk to the buyer about this too, and making sure that in the future, if there's any, you know, big discrepancies between vendor and line item bids, that perhaps we should seek a clarification in advance from the vendors to make sure that was the correct price, not after the award was made. So,
I can't get on my computer and they're not working here, but so I can't see. What was the difference in the amount of the second bidder?
I think what it was an $11,000 mistake. So I think if you subtract from 73, it would have been 62.
It was 62,000.
And so it was 75 to 62. Now it's 73 to 65. Right?
Yeah. So it's a little over what $1,600, $1,700. So and they're still a little bitter.
Okay.
So they're still a little bitter after the mistake was corrected.
Well, I think it would be a useful byproduct of this to make sure that when we see that kind of anomaly, that we flag it before we've exposed the other bids to the public and go back and make sure that we feel comfortable.
You know, even though I agree, this was an invitation for bid, so when the bids were due on the due date, all bids are opened up and read aloud at the bid opening. So potentially all the vendors who attended
the bid opening. So it wasn't exposed at the board meeting, it was actually exposed on the date of the...
Yes, okay. The bid opening.
But you would have thought then on the date of the bid opening, when they saw everybody else's was 11,000 greater, that somebody would have said, oh my, we did something wrong here, rather than have it get to the committee, get through the committee, and then have to read up.
Yeah. No, you're right, and that's why, you know, I told the buyer, anytime we notice a large discrepancy compared to other bidders, you know, that needs to get escalated right away, and then we can seek clarification with the vendor at that point in time before it gets presented for award.
Chair Peterson? Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. We can leave this here.
Take one of the second items?
Yes, if you can breathe, you're talking to us.
Sure. So the second item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase a dispatch radio console system upgrade. This purchase is to replace our current radio dispatch system with a new IP-based radio dispatch console system. The current system has reached the end of its useful life, and we currently have a difficult time obtaining replacement parts. This migration is necessary for the tollway to maintain interoperability with other local, state, and federal government users with the StarCom 21 network. This request includes all equipment, maintenance, and upgrades for the next 9 years. Is approximately a 7% discount or $215,119, which is being realized by purchasing this equipment by the end of tomorrow. Award is recommended to Motorola Solutions Incorporated in a total amount not to exceed $2,878,355.
Is this for our fleet of trucks and also for State Police District 15?
Yes, it is. It's for District 15, roadway maintenance, IT has radios as well. So this helps them to talk to one another and other individuals on the StarCom 21 network.
We had another purchase, Motorola Solutions, within the last 6 to 8 months. What was that? That was for?
I think that was maintenance of our, or maintenance of our existing radios. Maintenance of our existing radios.
When's the last time the dispatch radio console systems were upgraded?
I think it was in 2004. So I think a question did come up at the committee about the expectancy of that equipment. Wait, I'm getting confused with another item. So I believe this one was installed around
2004, was it, John, or?
I think it was 2004, yeah.
Yeah, 2004.
Confirm that.
We can confirm.
So about 10 years since this has been upgraded, the system?
Yes.
And the life of that again, 5 or 10 years?
What's that?
The life of the upgrade?
I'm sorry.
The life of the upgrade?
How long will this be?
This is another 10 years?
I'm thinking more probably another 10 years.
Yeah, this procurement is for the next 9 years to maintain all the maintenance and upgrades for that period. So the current system, Director Peterson, after 2016, it will not be compatible with the StarCom 21 network. The problem is the current equipment is already at the end of its useful life, and we have a hard time obtaining these replacement parts. So that's why it's necessary that we purchase this console now.
Yeah. So this was something you might remember that I think John mentioned at the committee that this would be one that would be needing to come to full board. We do have an incentive, I think, of some savings if we get our order in before the end of this month, right?
That's correct. So Motorola is discounting the master contract prices by approximately 7% if we get our order placed in by the end of tomorrow. That's the end of their quarter. Otherwise, you know, we'll spend $215,000 more for the same equipment and maintenance.
I don't want to be grumpy with you, but a week ago it would have gotten a full vetting in the committee, and I don't know what the delay was. If we knew tomorrow was the deadline, it would be great if we could have a bigger discussion about this. We probably would end up in the same place with a $3 million contract, and something like this would be good to have.
Well, what questions do you have?
I don't have any questions right now. I just think in terms of process, it would be good to be able to have a discussion. Be able to see it in it.
Yeah, the item wasn't ready, and again, we could have took a table board, but with the incentive of saving the additional
$215,000. I'm not suggesting we forego the incentive. Thank you. Now?
So the rest of the items were presented during
okay,
the
committee. Okay, great. So we can take, I think, all the procurement items then, 1 through 5. Okay. May I hear a motion, please?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Recusals, abstentions? Business systems? This is the approval of the settlement guidelines, which we heard Director Rebic talk about. Are there any questions on this? Okay, may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Recusals or abstentions? Okay, engineering? I think we can do 1 through 5.
He has 7 items to present.
Right,
also.
Do you want to do those?
I think that'd be better.
Okay, great. Let's do those.
Okay, so after listening to your comments about not having a full discussion in committee, you took away my opening remarks, which were going to be. I really appreciate the board even considering these items today. It means a month to us, and we are completely focused on everyday counts as far as getting these jobs out as quickly as we can. We would like to open these bids earlier in the month, and in fact, you know, we normally do schedule it that way. It's just we had so many of them. The ones I'm going to talk about today were open like the day before the FAO committee, and we just could not complete the review fast enough. But we were pretty happy with the bids that we did get. Item 4 is one of the contracts that opened up right before the FAO committee, and this is a construction contract award for system-wide signage, fabrication, and installation. It's an upon request type contract. They support and do some additional work that our own sign shop does not handle. Primarily, it's a lot of the customer communication information signs, CCI signs that we put up to inform our customers about the work that's going on in any particular stretch of our roadway. We did get 2 bids on this contract. GFS Construction is the low bidder at $1,691,779.06, and they are exceeding our DB goal.
Do
You know, there is a variance between the engineer's estimate and the award amount on this contract. Because it's upon request, we throw in additional maintenance of traffic. Yeah, it's on the board. We throw in additional maintenance of traffic items in there, which may or may not get used. Some are for shoulder closures, some are for full lane closures. So we have control of this contract and how much we're going to spend. So we feel comfortable moving forward or making the recommendation to move forward with it. We also, based on the comments received at the FAO committee regarding engineers' estimates versus awards amounts, our program management office initiated the analysis to look for trends and to try to identify, you know, if there's particular designers maybe that are having difficulty producing accurate engineers' estimates for us. And the results of the preliminary results of that analysis, and I'll use March, you know, today's items as an example of where we're trending to. We have 13 construction contracts on this month's board. The total amount based on award amounts was $88,700,000, and then the total engineers' estimate amounts were $89,400,000. So that's a 0.76 variance on average. When we went, the PMO looked back a year, back to December 2012, and I can tell you, back when we started putting out a lot of these construction contracts, we were varying primarily 15% under. So the trend has been since, you know, a year ago, December 2012 until now, roughly from 15% under to pretty much right on the money right now, which is an indication, I think, that, you know, the prices are going up. We know that. And the engineer's estimates will probably be getting adjusted now to try to make sure that we stay in the ballpark. But we, you know, I do see that, you know, there is a positive, you know, trend towards decreasing the variance between award amount and engineer's estimate. And I think that's going to happen as more and more jobs come out and our database of prices that we can go back and look at, you know, gets greater.
Thank you for doing that analysis.
All right. And then I certainly can come back, you know, to the committee and give them a full report on that, so you get a good understanding. And the next item is item number 5, and this is a pavement marking contract. It's a one-year contract. We got 2 bids on this contract. Maintenance Coatings is the low bidder at $1,155,980. And that was one of the ones that's pretty much right on with respect to the engineer's estimate, and they're exceeding our DD goals. So item 6 is going to be completely deferred. It was one of the ones where we had an variance on the DD percentage, which is still being evaluated. Diversity is working on that, so we're going to have to put that one off at least until next month. So item 7 is a construction contract award. This is for drainage, cleaning, and televising sewers on our Veterans Memorial Tollway. This contract is for work basically between Finley Road and Army Trail Road. We got 3 bids on this contract. National Power Rodding was the low bidder at $2,177,208.72. This is going to be the first time that National Power Rodding has served as a prime on a tollway contract, and they are also committed to meeting our new legal, exceeding it, actually.
This call is for maintenance, just P&M of the system?
Yeah, this is just for going out, doing cleaning of the existing system and televising of the sewer so that we see exactly what's going on in there.
Okay, it's not in conjunction with the actual construction is going on?
This one's not, no. Okay.
So these guys are not in the construction site. Berger would be, for instance, Visual, but they wouldn't be.
Right.
They're a maintenance company.
We do, you know, when we build sewers, there is parts of the specs where we require them to do the televising of it before they turn it over to us. So they're using some companies for that. I don't know exactly who those those subs are. I know National Power Running, so I did a lot of drainage engineering work in my previous employment, and they're very well known. They do a lot of work all over the place, so. Item number nine. This is a construction contract award, and this is for repairs to 10 bridges on the Tri-State Tollway. There's also going to be some safety upgrades with this, guardrail and barrier wall. We got four bids on this contract. Laura Construction was the low bidder at $3,616,478.46. They are also committed to meeting our DV goal.
Did they
win through earned credit?
No,
I don't think they
did. They didn't need it anyway, right?
Yeah,
no.
I think it's only one item for earned credit, item 22.
Correct.
Yeah.
Item number 12. This is a construction contract award for reconstruction of our truck parking areas and the rehab of our ramps leading into the Oasis. This is at the Belvedere Oasis on the Jane Adams Memorial Tollway and also at the DeKalb Oasis on the Reagan Memorial Tollway. We got three bids on this contract. R.W. Dumpsman was the low bidder at $4,729,620.15. And they are committed to meeting our DB goal. So the last one that I would like the board to consider today is item number 21. And this is an extra work order. This is on one of the I-90 West contracts. We're requesting extra work order funding in the amount of $500,000. It's on contract 4134. This is with R.W. Dunkman, and it is going to be directly related to us trying to recover some lost schedule time. And what they're going to be doing is removing and replacing frozen soil that they have out there in the median and putting in stone so that we can get this work going immediately. They are working out there right now, but they want to finish up all the median work doing this method that they're using. It will require them to get rid of some of the soil. We are going to look for locations within the tollway to spoil it, but some of it may end up getting carted off site. As of Monday of this week, there's still like 2 feet of frost out there. So we don't want to wait though. We want to keep these jobs moving. And I think it's in all of our best interest to get the work done this year. I don't want to have these contracts go through another winter or an extension of time, and I know that will cost totally more money. They have had some change orders on this contract so far. I think the total amount is roughly 2% of their total value right now. This is a $43 million contract. You know that as a rule, we budget for 5% on our contracts. Thus far through the program, we've been averaging like 0.01 or 3% within the award amount when all is said and done. So there, we don't feel that, you know, this is an issue that's really going to cause us any problems with respect to the budget on these jobs. We want to move forward with this work. We want to do it in an expeditious manner. This is one of the techniques that's going to help us do that.
Okay.
Well, that's all the additional items for engineering.
Okay, good. I think what we can do is 1 through 5. We're not taking up 6 now. And then 7 through 15. Is that right? We have a recusal on 16. So 1 through 5, 7 through 15. May I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? 16. We have a recusal from Director Peterson. So may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? One refusal, any abstentions? 17 through 21. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals. Any abstentions? On 22, there's a refusal from Director Sweeney. May I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? One recusal, any abstentions? And then 23 through 29. Oh, no. 27. We'll talk about 28, 29 in executive session. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No refusals, no abstentions. We'll take up 28 and 29 in executive session. Legal?
Morning, directors. Legal has 8 items for your approval today. Items 1 through 4 we discussed with the finance committee. Most can be voted on now. And items 5 and 6 will be discussed in executive session.
And then we can do 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so may I hear motion 1 through 4, 7 and 8?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Any recusals or abstentions? Okay, so it sounds as if we have 5 items for executive session?
No, items 1 through 4, I believe, can you vote on now?
I'm sorry, that motion included 1 through 4, 7 and 8.
Okay, that was
okay. And then, so we have 5, 6, 7 under legal, and 28, 29 under whatever this engineering is. Right. Okay?
Right.
Anything else?
The Motorola equipment, the last time it was upgraded was 2006, and the new stuff will last till 2022.
Oh,
thank you.
Good. Okay, thank you very much for the quick turnaround on that. Okay, let's see where I am here. I apologize. Unfinished business? Any new business? And I need a motion, Liz, to go into executive session.
Director of Senior Management, we recommend that the board entertain a motion to move into executive session to discuss certain topics which are exceptions to the Open Meetings Act, including litigation pursuant to Section 2C11 and the purchase of real property pursuant to Section 2C5 of the Open Meetings Act.
Okay. May I hear a second to that?
Second.
I'll move it and second it. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, how long do you think we need?
15.
15 minutes? Okay, so we'll readjourn at 10:45. Thank you very much. So we're back in regular session. We had 4 items to discuss in executive session. The first 2 were under engineering. Those are numbers 28 and 29. I think we fully discussed those. May I hear a motion, please? Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? No? Okay, thank you. And then I misspoke when we were going into executive session. We are doing only numbers 5 and 6 under legal, both workers' comp. In both instances, Director Reddick is to be recused. So may I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. We have 2 recusals from Director Reddick on both of these. What do we call it?
Business?
No.
Abstention.
Abstention. Thank you. I lost it. Any abstentions? No? Okay. Thank you. So I think we're done with the motion. May I have a motion then to adjourn the meeting?
Move to adjourn.
Yes. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. We will see you in April.